looking at things and searching for things and studying and preparing, it just really just is like, here, this message. So it's the way I received it, so that's the way I'm going to give it. In Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about in the very first part of the verse, and I'm going to back into chapter 5 a little when I get there. But before I do that, I want to share a story, but I want to give you this thing kind of to lay a foundation first. But Hebrews chapter 6 talks about the peril of not progressing, or the danger of not growing. When we're talking about spiritually growing in Jesus, it is a dangerous thing to not be changing, to not be growing. And change is hard. We're human beings, and change is difficult sometimes. But change is necessary. God made change for a reason, and He wants us to grow. And so it's a very dangerous place to not be growing. So with that said, Hebrews chapter 6, I'll read the passage in a minute, but I want to share this story. There was a couple of men. One, they were friends, had been friends for years, went to church together. And so, you know, the one man, let's just say his name was Jim, and the other guy's name was Jeff or whatever, just making up names. But Jeff had his 40-year high school reunion coming up, and he hadn't went to any of the previous high school reunions. I don't know, I guess they do it every 20 years or something, I don't know. I'm not old enough to have had one yet, so I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. I have no idea. They don't even know where I live, so the invitation wouldn't make it. Okay, let me just tell it to you plain. My high school principal called me into his office at 17 years old and said, "Here is a form. If you will sign this, I won't say anything to your parents. You can leave. And just act like you're coming to school for the next year. I really want you to leave." Seriously, that really happened. So I was like, "He'll give me word to my son." So yeah, it was bad. Anyway, all that aside, Jeff and Jim. Okay, so Jeff had his 40-year high school reunion coming up. And he was really excited because he had gotten saved years previous and was excited and had all this change happening in his life and was going after God and was plugged into his church and a part of his church. And he was excited to see what had happened with all these people that he was friends with, that he grew up with, that he went to high school with, and see what changes had happened in their life. And so he, as the weeks led up to it, you know, Jeff had told Jim, "You know, I'm going to this. Will you give me a ride to the airport? My wife's getting excited, and I'm telling her all about the different people, and I can't wait to see what's happened in their lives and where they're at now and what they're doing and what changes have happened for them." And so Jeff's talking about this for weeks leading up to the day. And finally the day comes, and Jim's giving him a ride to the airport, and Jim, you could feel the electricity in the car of their excitement to go do this because they had gotten so excited to go to this reunion. And so, you know, Jim's feeling this in the car, and he's excited too because they're excited, and he's feeling it for his friend, you know, the excitement of that. Drops him off at the airport. A week later, he comes back to pick him up at the airport, and they get off the plane, and they're shuffling their feet, walking up to the car with their head down. Sad. Like, not good. So, Jeff and his wife get in the car, and there's awkward silence for getting out of the gate and getting on the highway. And finally, Jim can't stand it anymore, and he's like, "Okay, what happened? what's going on? You were so excited. What happened? What went wrong?" He said, "Well, nothing went wrong." He said, "Nobody changed. In 40 years, nobody changed. They just gained weight, got older, and have jobs now. There's no change in their life. They're still who they were, still act the way they did 40 years ago. There was no major change in anyone." And he said, "And I was so excited when I got there. I talked to everyone I possibly could. We did. And nobody had changed. Everybody was the same. It was just 40 years later, and physical things had changed, and that was it." And so he said, "It's not what happened, it's what didn't happen." that was making them sad, that had depressed them, because they were looking forward to seeing change, to seeing where people had gone and where they had progressed. And mainly they were looking for people, of course, that, you know, had gotten saved like they did and had major change in their life, but no one did. So they come back just really sad for what didn't happen. And so Hebrews chapter 6 talks about just this, the peril of not progressing. And I believe that there are three indicators that we as believers need to look for in our lives to make sure that we're constant, that we're checking this, because we don't want to be in that place where we're not progressing in Jesus. And we can get there. It's easy to get there. I've had moments and times and periods and of time that in my life where I've hit that spot. And when you realize you're there, you got to know what to look for, number one. But even when you do, you got to check it, because you don't ever want to get there where you're not growing. Because you can be a Christian for 60 years and still not have changed from the first year or the first 2 years or whatever. And you can reach a point where you rock it up for a year or two, and then something really bad happens, offense comes in, something happens in the church, whatever it is, and stop growth right there. And we don't want to do that. It's when we stand before Jesus, it's not going to be what somebody else did that we're giving account for. It's going to be what we did that we give an account for. And so we've got to go past those moments. We've got to go past those things that are stunt our growth. And Hebrews chapter 6, I just want to read this thing and then talk about the three different things that I think stand out in this passage that are, you know, a doctor looks for symptoms to diagnose a sickness. And I believe that there are three symptoms that we can look at just in pulling out of this when I was praying. So let me read this, and then I'm going to give you those three things. In Hebrews chapter 5, I'm going to back up a little bit and start at verse 11. Hebrews 5:11 says this. Now, they're talking previously. Let me give this a little background. They're talking previously in verse 5 about the qualifications for priesthood. And he's giving a layout for that. And then he's laying these things out about qualifications for being a priest. And then he stops. The audience he's talking to when he's wrote this letter to the Hebrews, the audience he's talking to, he stops right at the end of chapter 5 and says, wait, basically. And he says this, of whom we have much to say. And he's talking about the priesthood and the priest, of whom is the priesthood he's talking about. He's laying out before. So he's saying to them, we have much to say about them, but it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use of their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, this is verse 6, therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. For this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once... Well, I'm not going to go there. Anyway, stop there. So he lists these basic foundational things. Baptism, faith towards God, repentance from dead works, the resurrection. He's listing out the laying on of hands, these basic principles of Christianity. Let us not have to keep laying the foundation over and over and over again. Now, he says this on the heels of, it's difficult to explain this thing to you about the priesthood because you've become dull of hearing. So number one is a dullness to the Word of God. What does that mean? It means when the Word of God becomes dull to us, it's boring. We don't want to read. We don't necessarily even want to hear. A lot of times when our Christian walk, we'll come, we'll show up, but we're not really paying attention. Our mind goes elsewhere when the word's being preached. Our mind is looking and thinking about lunch or thinking about Monday or thinking about next week or thinking about last week or whatever. There's a dullness to wanting to hear the word. There's a dullness to wanting. There's no hunger there for the word. The word is supposed to excite us. There is supposed to be within us as believers in Jesus, when he's in our hearts, there is supposed to be a hunger within us to learn and to grow. You know, it's no different than physical hunger. If I'm well, I'm hungry. I'm going to get hungry if I'm well, right? If we're well, we're feeling good, there's no sickness, we're not sick or anything, then we're going to have times where we're hungry. Example, I remember the sickest I've ever been in my life. I was on the mission field. We were building a church down in the bottom of the Grand Canyon on the Indian Reservation. And there was this guy that came down that was like this super hiking, live in the woods, like Bear Grylls type guy, you know, that wanted to take you out and sleep in a tent overnight and live off of whatever's out there and all this stuff. So he comes down and he wants to take me and his couple other people on this hike. Well, where we were in this village, it's an 8-mile hike down into the canyon and down the canyon to the village of Supai, which is where we were building the church at, which they have running water, power. The government built them houses years ago back in the 60s or 70s, and or actually prior to that. They have a school down there and all that stuff, but there's only three ways in: helicopter, hike, or horse or donkey, basically. And so you hike into this village, and then there's another 20 miles from the Grand Canyon. This canyon they live in is called Cataract Canyon. It's just a little split off of the Grand Canyon. Basically, it's like a crack that runs into the Grand Canyon, but it's part of it. So the village is 8 miles, and then it's 20 miles downstream. They have this beautiful green, blue-green water spring that bubbles up out of the ground, and that's why the village is built around it. And these waterfalls that are just amazing, but you can hike down to the last falls, but it's 20 miles to the Colorado River and the actual Grand Canyon and another drop, an even deeper drop there. But it is not a trail that is soft and fluffy, filled with flowers. It is rocks. It is, you got to be a rock climber. You got to be a Bear Grylls extreme guy, know what you're doing. You got to stay the night because you can't hike it in one day. It's very dangerous. You got to have the water stuff that purifies water that you can just dip it out of the creek and drink it, and it purifies it on the spot because, you know, it's a serious hike. So he comes down and he's got all this equipment. He's got this water purifier and this and that. And so we go with him and we get down for the first night to stay the night. And he gives me this bottle and he says, you could literally take this bottle and dip it in a sewage tank and it would purify the water clean enough for you to drink it. He said, this thing costs who knows what, $700-$900 for one bottle or something crazy ridiculous. So he's telling me all this. I mean, he's got that kind of stuff. So we're hiking down, and he's got the repelling stuff. He's got all the things. We're hiking down, and he goes, here's this bottle, and when we run out of our first water supply, when we get down there, you just start dipping out of the creek and drink out of this bottle. Well, apparently that bottle wasn't all it was cut out to be, because I got, the next day when I got up in the morning, so sick. We had to hike back. By the time we got back to the house, place where we were building the church and the house we were staying in, I was so sick and in so much pain. What happened is whatever I drank got me so sick, and it added to an issue that I already had, and it was just extreme, excruciating abdominal pain, and I was sick as a dog and throwing up, and just all I could do was wallow around and moan and groan and scream. I mean, it was horrible. So they come and they take me to the little doctor's office that they have down a little like emergency medical clinic, which is very scary because it's like a third world country, and the doctor may be a doctor or he might be a medicine man, you don't know. So pull me in there, and they do have actual like IV stuff and things like that, so that was somewhat comforting, I guess. But anyway, so we get in there, and they, of course, they start me on this morphine drip, and I'm sick. I mean, I'm in so much pain, and I can't even feel. They're giving me this medication by IV, and I don't even feel whatever they're putting in. It's supposed to be morphine, but I didn't feel nothing. I mean, I was excruciating pain. So they finally call a helicopter, a medevac, and they airlifted me out of the Grand Canyon to the nearest hospital. Well, for the next 30 to 45 days, I proceeded to lose about 35 to 40 pounds of weight. I'd gotten down to like 120 pounds, and those episodes were happening every day. Well, what happened in the midst of that is I lost my appetite. I just wasn't hungry because I was in so much pain. I'd eat maybe once a day, and that wasn't much. So what I realized this actually last night or this morning, just in praying over this, was that that developed a habit. Because to this day, and you can ask Jared, I'll go without breakfast and I'll go without lunch. Now, I'll come home and eat two or three dinners sometimes. I'm hungry. But I developed a habit from that. I'll skip. It's just nothing for me to skip breakfast and lunch. I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. And, you know, Jared has to remind me, hey, dude, I'm hungry. And everybody knows that. But what that did is it developed a habit in me that I didn't realize it had developed. Because to this day, I'm still like that. Even though I'm well and that's passed and I've gotten through that and, of course, gained the weight back. But I got better. But it developed a habit. You know, hunger for the Word of God, it can happen like that. If we get sick, if we get offended, if we get hurt, if things happen in life that are tragic and tragedy and extremely painful, and we start to question, well, why, God, did you do that after we believe? And all of those things, any number of those things can be like that sickness was for me, and it can cause our hunger to go down. We lose that hunger for the Word of God. We become dull of hearing, and then that can become a habit. And that will stunt our growth. We'll stop right there in our growth, in our Christian walk. We may still go through the motions of coming to church, praying a little bit, maybe crack the Bible open every now and then, maybe not. But the bottom line is this, is there a hunger for God's Word? Because if there's not, something's wrong. That's a symptom. That is a symptom. And so, that's number one, a dullness of hearing. But with that, I want to read this scripture. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. So, just to give you an example that this dullness of hearing thing isn't just in one place in the Bible. But in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, it says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Another indicator. Strife, envy, complaining, backbiting. All of those things. Are we not behaving like mere men when we do that? Well, it comes and it stems from, number one, if we're hungry for God and we're digging into to His Word, those things go away. If we're not, then they're there and we're dull of hearing and we can't receive spiritually because we're acting carnal. So it is an indicator. Those are indicators put here in the Word for us to realize if we're not growing, if our growth is stunted, it is not a good thing. I don't want to look back 20 years from now and still be the same at the same place. Paul said in Hebrews to them, you should be teachers by now. And it's hard for me to even talk to you about the priesthood. Because you're dull of hearing. What was he saying? Not that they were supposed to be preachers and Sunday school teachers. You should be able to share your faith with someone else. You should be able to explain what you believe. You should be able... I shouldn't have to keep coming back here laying the elementary foundational principles to you. You should be able to hear this deeper thing I'm trying to tell you. But wait, you can't. It's hard to talk to you. You're dull of hearing. You should be teaching by now. What's going on? So he was revealing to them the dullness of hearing. He was getting on to them, yes. But he was showing them, you should be here and you're here. You're dull of hearing. It's hard to talk to you about anything deeper than the elementary stuff. I don't want to be at a place where the elementary stuff is all that excites me because I need to hear it over and over again. It is an indicator. It is. If the only thing that excites us is the basics, when baptism's talked about, when salvation's talked about, that should always excite all of us. But if that's the only time we feel hunger for God, if that's the only time we enjoy hearing His Word or reading His Word, then something's wrong because we're not moving on like a child. You know, a child starts with milk and they move on to solid food, right? Well, if a child doesn't move from milk to solid food, then everybody goes, whoa, hang on, what's going on? Well, something's wrong. Let's go to the doctor, right? Because a child's supposed to move on. As believers, we're supposed to move on. We're supposed to make that transition where we move on to deeper things, where we want to, where we're studying on our own. You know, I was thinking about it too earlier. Just like that guy giving me that bottle, I learned a valuable lesson. Don't just take what people give you. Especially when you have to ingest it and your life depends on it. No matter how much of a professional they are, go back to your Bible and read it for yourself and make sure that's what it says. Because your life does depend on it. Your health does depend on your hunger for God, but it also depends on whether or not we check what people are saying. A lot of times when we're dull of hearing, and we hear something from someone that's exciting, it may not necessarily always be true. And it can lead us down a path of pain and sickness and hurt and harm. And it's not even the Word of God. It just tickled our ears and sounded good, so we went for it. A $600 bottle. It'll filter sewer water and you can drink it. Never again. Never again. It better be in a sealed bottle for me. But you know what I'm saying by that. So, number two is an inability to share our faith. Number two indicator. Number one, dullness in hearing the Word of God and desiring and having a hunger for His Word. Number two is an inability to share. You know, it's difficult to put ourselves out on a limb. And Todd, you might have to wake Cliff up. Hey, Cliff. Wake up. Number two is an inability. Sorry, dude. Had to wake you up. Number two is an inability to share our faith. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's uncomfortable at times. But you know what? Nothing gets comfortable unless you keep doing it. What makes things uncomfortable is when we don't do it. But an inability to step out and share our faith, an inability to step out and share our testimony, an inability to step out and share what Jesus has done in our life is a huge red flag. I don't want to be 40 years later the same. Well, growth is daily. Number one, are we dull of hearing and are we hungry for God's word? If you're not hungry for his word, then there's something not right. Use that to identify that something's not right. Number two is an inability to share our faith with others. We should be able at any moment in time to share our salvation experience. We should be able at any moment in time to lay hands on somebody and pray for them. To ask, to say, hey, can I pray for you? The foundational principles that he listed out in those principles was the laying on of hands. Why? Because there's something about that act of faith of putting a hand on somebody's shoulder and saying, in Jesus' name, be healed, feel better. We pray for you to have peace. That is a foundational principle of our Christianity in the Word of God that we should be hungry for, that we should be walking in, that we should understand and know, and that we should have the ability to share. Not just our faith, but our prayer with others who need it. Not everybody. It's not about... This whole thing is not about being a minister. It's not about being any of the major titles. I don't even consider it that. But you know what I mean? It's not about a title.
No, it's not.
It's about just being a believer. If all you got is a title, then you ain't got nothing. Paul said, if I don't have love, I don't have anything. This all comes out of love. Love, number one, creates a hunger for God and for his word. Love, number one, two, also creates a hunger to share that love with people. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So there is a love to share, and there is a love to get something to share. To grow in his word, to move on from milk, principles, the foundational principles, and into deeper things where, like, Paul could come in and share about the priesthood qualifications. He couldn't do it because he said, you're dull of hearing. This is hard to talk to you about. I've got to go back here and do the foundational principles again and again and again. But why? Because there was a sickness. There was something wrong. There was a dullness of hearing. And we all, at some point in time, can come across in our Christian life that place where we get stuck. Where something happens and it creates a routine like I talked about. And then that routine can go for... Mine's been going, 15 years now? 14 years? Just the way I eat, it was changed. The way we eat and are hungry for the word can be changed by a traumatic situation. And we've got to recognize that and correct it. And we've got to look and say, okay, am I hungry for God's word? Am I dull of hearing? And then number two, am I able to share my... When's the last time you shared with somebody? You prayed with them, shared Jesus in any way, told about what God did for you. Ask those questions. I'm asking that as a question. Ask yourself those questions. Ask them. We're checking our heart this morning. This is me included. Number three is an insufficient diet. number one and number two create number three. Our diet as believers is this: the Word of God, His presence, seeking Him and being hungry for Him, and continually, daily praying and reading His Word and growing in Him and moving on to the meat things and having a full diet and being hungry for Him creates a healthy appetite, and that gives us a diet that is a healthy diet. Part of that, too, is sharing our faith. It's not just a minister's job. It's not just an evangelist's job. It's not just a job. It's not just the requirement or whatever you want to call it. It's not just for the person who has a title or anything. It's not. It's for every single one of us to share our faith. To get something daily to share and to share it is a healthy diet. So number three is an insufficient diet. We're malnourished, sick. Just like being sick, I lost weight, I wasn't well, my diet wasn't right. Still isn't quite right because I'm not eating like I should, I guess. But now I realize it's a habit. It's not just my body doing that. It's a habit. I developed a habit from that experience. I never realized that. It's just a habit. In our Christian walk, we can develop habits from traumatic experience that cause us to have an insufficient diet in God. We're not supposed to be carnal anymore. We're supposed to be a spiritual people. He said in Corinthians, you're carnal, I can't speak to you. You're supposed to be spiritually minded, but you're carnal, I can't talk to you. You're dull of hearing. Carnal nature is good with the same thing over and over and over again. It's good with a routine that causes no progression, no growth. That's a carnal nature. But a spiritual nature, one that's plugged into Jesus, hungry for God, wants change, wants growth, wants to grow more, to get closer to Him, to know more, to understand more. And then that creates a healthy diet. Not a malnourished diet, but a strong, vibrant, healthy diet. And in that place, there's change. 40 years later, you will not be the same. Not even a year, not even a few months later. See, we've got to ask ourselves the question. We've got to ask ourselves these questions. Are we dull of hearing? Is there an inability to share God's Word? And is... because of those things, is there an insufficient diet in our Christian walk? In our relationship with Jesus? And if there is, it is fixable. He gave His grace. He gave us His love. But we've got to apply it. We have to change the routine. We've got to get out of whatever it is that knocked our feet out from under us. Or whatever, if it was laziness, if it was traumatic experience, if it was offense in the church or outside of the church, if it was pain that is unexplainable, let me tell you something. God is good all the time, always. He does not cause traumatic, horrible, bad things. The devil does. Put the blame where it belongs and forgive God, because He's not guilty ever. That's a fact. That's what the Word says. That right there, just that one thing should be a part of our diet. Something we've digested and we know. Right? God is good all the time. His desire for us is to be continually growing and changing. We, every single one of us, should be able to teach. Meaning, we should be able to I'm not talking even about a Sunday school teacher or preaching. I'm talking about just sharing your faith with one person. We all should be able to do, even if saved yesterday. No, if saved today, 2 minutes ago, 30 seconds ago, we should be able to share that experience with someone else. There's no excuses. We think there are, and we make up new ones all the time. But there are no excuses. They're not real. Excuses are like whatever that bottle didn't filter out in that water that made me sick. Excuses make us sick. It keeps us malnourished. It sucks the hunger out of us for Him, for His Word, for growth, for change. And then we get comfortable with where we are in that routine and we stay there. And that's not what God designed the Christian life to be. He designed it to change us. He designed it to have a relationship with us so that that relationship with Him changes us from the inside out daily. And we grow every single day. And we're strong in our hunger for Him. And our ability to share becomes quick and easy when the moment comes that we can share. And sometimes, it's not even waiting for a moment. Sometimes we make the moment. God created us to be like Him, and sometimes we create the moment to share our faith simply by asking someone, simply by bringing up the topic in a conversation, simply by asking someone to pray for them. So if you guys would stand, I just want to stop this, I believe, here, because I want this to resonate this week with you and your heart and me and my heart. Really sincerely ask yourself these questions. Where are you at today? Are you growing? Do you want to grow? Are you hungry for His Word? Seriously, would you rather be doing something else right now? Or would you rather be here hearing the Word of God? Would you rather be growing and learning in Him? Would you rather be sharing your faith? That hunger has got to be there within each and every one of us if we have a relationship with Jesus. So this morning, if you would just close your eyes and bow your heads, I want to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that you take this message into every one of our hearts, myself included, that we would make this a daily health check for our lives, that we would sincerely do something with this, that if we are any way dull of hearing, that we would correct that here right now, today, this moment. We would not walk out of this building without sharpening that hearing by asking you to simply increase our hunger for you, for your presence, for your word, increase love within our hearts. God, put your desire inside of our hearts for you, to long for you, to be passionate for you, to seek and to learn your word and to look at it ourselves. Even today, this very message, to dig in this afternoon and look at the word and go, I'm not just going to take that bottle He handed me. Is that real? Is that true? In Jesus' name, God, that's what I pray for all of us today, that we would not be like the church of Corinth, that it was difficult to talk to them because they were dull in their hearing. God, check our hearts today, this morning. Let each of us, in our own responsibility, check our own heart and say, Rick, where are you at? Where am I at? Am I hungry? Am I passionate? Am I seeking you? Do I want to grow? Do I want to go to deeper things? Do I want to eat spiritual steak? Yes. So if that's not the case this morning, then just ask Jesus right now. Just raise your hand up in the air and say, Jesus, I open my heart and I ask you to increase hunger in me. Give me that hunger for your word. Increase the hunger for your presence, for your word. The desire to know you more, the desire to progress, to grow, to learn, to increase in that relationship with you, and to increase in the ability to activate the ability to share my faith with someone else. And God, increase that hunger and activate that ability to share and give each and every one of us here this morning a sufficient diet of your word and of relationship with you. In Jesus' name, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. This altar's open. If you need prayer this morning, come up. always, 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 if there's anything you're struggling with physically, spiritually, or emotionally, then come up. We want to pray with you. We want to see Jesus touch your life and your heart this morning. That's what the church is for. That's what we're for. And so we just bless you guys this week. Have a good evening. It is supposed to be a gorgeous day today. So enjoy the sunshine. God bless you guys.